Joining us this evening to examine South Africa's new child and youth strategy, exploring why meeting children's basic needs is our most powerful economic and social investment, is the Chief Executive Officer at the DG Murray Trust. He's also the co-lead of the Hold My Hand Accelerator, Dr. David Harrison. Dr. Harrison, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Always a pleasure, Benito.
South Africa's had many initiatives and plans for children before. What makes the national strategy to accelerate action for children different?
Well, I think firstly, there is a clear definition of 10 priorities, not massive long action plans, but 10 priorities for children that everybody needs to galvanize around. That's good. That's new. I think secondly, there's been an unprecedented engagement between civil society, the children's sector, government departments in the development of this of the strategy, and a key part of that strategy is the need, particularly for civil society, government, together with business and trade unions, to work together. And and what has happened is there has been a way of working together. DG Murray Trust has been designated as the accelerator behind the strategy through formal agreement with the presidency. So what we've seen is the establishment of mechanisms to try and accelerate it. Now, that doesn't mean that the journey is going to be easy. Funding is absolutely critical. Getting people to work together is going to be difficult. But at least there is a new interface between civil society and government that we will seek to capitalize on.
And of the 10 priorities within the strategy, the national strategy to accelerate action for children, which one or two do you think will make the biggest difference if we get it right?
Well, I think, and we've spoken about this before, child nutrition is absolutely critical, filling the food gap. And here we're seeing interest of the president in really starting to drive a national strategy to ensure child nutrition. So that's a big one. The second is an interest in ensuring that children with disability, children with hearing disability, that with vision disability, that those disabilities are detected early, for hearing at the time of birth, for vision either at early learning centers or at the beginning of school. That's going to be getting in place those sort of screening programs that enable for early detection and dealing with those problems, I think is going to be critical. And again, it's an issue you and I have talked about. Is it does seem that government is starting to be serious about reducing heavy drinking, which has such a profound impact on issues of child injury, homicide, fetal alcohol syndrome. These are three areas that government seems to be committed, both to ensure child well-being through proactive programs, but also to try and prevent some of the harm that is happening as a consequence of heavy drinking and some of the other issues that children are exposed to in their communities.
Notwithstanding those critical areas, you've also raised concerns around child health and education in previous conversations. They've also started regressing, unfortunately, since the pandemic. What does that look like in 2026?
So certainly, and let's start with the most encouraging. I mean, certainly in terms of education, a government's commitment to and funding of expanding early learning programs for 3 to 5 year olds is a massive breakthrough. It's something we've been working on for 15 years, and so we will need to work really hard with government, all role players coming together, to make sure that additional money is effectively used over the next 3 years, and that we can bring in an additional 1 million children, 3 to 5 year olds, into the fold. So that's crucial. At the same time, we can't ignore brain development in 0 to 3 year olds. And this is a particular area of focus: early language development, early brain stimulation, developing programs of engagement with parents to stimulate their children. So that's going to be a focus area. In terms of health, you're absolutely right. I think that the loss of U.S. government funding is of grave concern, particularly when it comes to prevention of mother-to-child transmission of HIV. And certainly we're engaging with the National Department of Health, seeking to put together a group of funders to not only try and fill the gap, but to be very sort of proactive in reshaping healthcare to ensure that we do eliminate HIV transmission in babies by 2030. But the issue of the underlying poverty of the country, the underlying the challenge that many families have, the vulnerability of families, is a really difficult one to address. And the solution, obviously, ultimately, is not just getting these programs in place, but finding a way in which our economy starts to be more inclusive. A bigger task, but that's the challenge for the country over the next decade.
Chief Executive Officer at the DG Murray Trust. He's also co-lead of the Hold My Hand Accelerator. Dr. David Harrison joining us this evening, examining South Africa's new child and youth strategy, the national strategy to accelerate action for children. Do join us on 0829-904-904. The strategy also mentions building teenagers' identity, their agency, and their connectedness. What does that mean in practice, David?
Yes. So, I mean, we have forgotten our teenagers. We've focused a lot on younger children. And certainly, you know, as you know, I've been a very strong advocate for very early intervention.
Yes.
We have focused a lot on jobs. But those critical years of adolescence are so important. And our children, many of our children and many of our teenagers are feeling dislocated. They're feeling like they're not part of the system. And I think to some extent, the national senior certificate results, which showed that boys were much less well represented in the exams than girls, is a very alarming symptom of what I'm speaking about. It really shows that there's a sense of isolation. So we've got to do a couple of things. We've got to create networks of support, social networks, face-to-face networks for young people, enabling them to start thinking through and building a new sense of identity. No longer the idea of young people and children as a ticking time bomb, but young people really as agents of our common future. So really shifting that sort of negative labeling of young people to a much more positive labeling. At the same time, in South Africa, we know that issues of identity, particularly gender, sexual identity, are still issues of grave concern. You know, a young person in Khayelitsha just 2 weeks ago, having been killed because of her sexual orientation. So there are those sort of very down-to-earth issues that we as a society have to grapple with and enable our young people to be themselves. And so programs like Kiredi, which creates social networks for young people, enabling them to have a sense of purpose and belonging, are absolutely critical, as is face-to-face and direct community-level mentorship and engagement.
I would imagine that within those programs, there then would be clear roles, measurable targets, and as well as mechanisms for those important voices to be heard. So it doesn't just become tokenism.
And I think that's one of the strengths of this new national strategy. It absolutely recognizes the need for children and young people's voices to be very, very strongly heard in the design of these programs, in the development, in the public communication. Certainly the Hold My Hand campaign, which you alluded to earlier, it's not parents saying to their children, hold my hand. It's children saying to parents, hold my hand will lead you to the future. It sounds so simple, almost banal, but we mustn't forget that it is children's experience of life today, whether they're loved, whether they're fed, whether they feel secure, whether we are stimulating their brains and ensuring that they have access to health services. Those are the factors that are going to determine the health, wealth, and well-being of our society in 10 to 20 years' time. And so it's absolutely critical that we that we create these channels for their participation, mm-hmm. for their engagement in everything that's done with them, not for them.
The campaign you refer to, the Hold My Hand campaign, asks all of society to get involved. What can a parent, a teacher, or even a business owner realistically do to support it, David?
Well, I mean, let's start with parents. And I think the first and most critical thing is to be present in the life of the child, and certainly to understand that a child's development starts during pregnancy, which means that we've got to enable mothers both to be properly nourished, and also just to ensure that mothers are avoiding toxins like alcohol that put their babies at risk. That's the place to start, and then for every single young parent to understand that the child's brain is just sparking from the time of birth. That's when the real learning is happening. That's when the language development is happening, even if those children can't speak. And so to engage with them, what we call serve and return, find ways to sort of stimulate, engage with the child right from birth. These are fundamental things that will influence whether or not the child is ultimately able to learn when they go to school. So there's a lot that parents can do, not seeing education as something that happens at school, but themselves as the first indicator, as the first educator. And then, I mean, in terms of business, most employees are parents or grandparents or uncles and aunts, and so. Hold My Hand materials that have been developed that business owners could make available to their workers as parents and not just as employees, providing ways in which they can have the agency to engage with their children. This is the type of momentum that we need to develop in South Africa so that children are put at the center and that all of us, government, civil society, trade unions, and business are working towards the common end of ensuring that every single child in South Africa reaches their full potential.
There's been the criticism, and you've shared it with us in previous conversations, that we often work in silos, and you pointed out at the beginning of the conversation that the national strategy to accelerate action for children, in fact, calls for all of society to get involved, civil society, government as well, the private sector. Within government itself, there are also many of the departments working in silos. Does this strategy also get the various government departments to coordinate health, education, social development?
Part of the thinking of this new strategy and the reason why it's sort of been driven through relationships with the presidency is that there is that need for national coordination, national accountability, a national commitment to our constitutional obligation to put children first in everything that's done. So I think the fact that the president has taken a direct and very specific interest is critically important. And so those type of accountability mechanisms between government departments are crucial. But what we're also seeing is a higher level of engagement between, for example, health and social development and the Department of Education around issues like early childhood development. I think we're starting to see a change. I think we're starting to see government departments acknowledging that the only way that we're going to make substantial changes in terms of particularly human development in this country, which does require such an integrated approach, is if government departments work together and with other social partners.
And that sort of collaboration, in fact, could spark off greater efficiency. The big key question, of course, is implementation. This has to be implemented given all the positive aspects that you've outlined in the program. But there does seem to be a challenge around the dependence on existing budgets and regulatory processes. How is that being looked at the moment?
Well, I mean, I think, and just building on what we've just said, is that I do think that there's a lot of value that can be unlocked by synergy, by people working together. I mean, let me just take the example of nutrition.
Yeah.
Part of the challenge of child nutrition is that it's so spread across so many different government departments, Department of Trade and Industry and Agriculture and Health and Social Development, that it's very sort of juniorized. In each of the departments, there may be a deputy director, possibly a director responsible for it. But what's missing is leadership, is strong national leadership to pull it all together. So you know, our call to government is to say, look, you've got all these pieces in the jigsaw puzzle, but nobody's orchestrating, nobody's pulling it together. Put a trailblazer for nutrition in place. That's accountable to the presidency, that can really help to bring these elements together and to mobilize the resources that are already available. Having said that, it remains true that new resources are going to have to be allocated to children. But I think the point that Treasury is understanding and is demonstrated through their commitment to early childhood development is that there is a recognition that the most powerful driver of economic development, let alone social development in our country, is the development of our children. It is actually the development of our children is the path to future economic growth, and so we need to make the right sort of public investments in those strategies. And we're starting to see that, which is very encouraging.
Is the information around the national strategy to accelerate action for children, as well as the Hold My Hand Accelerator, available on the DGMT website, David?
Yes, or visit www.holdmyhand.org.za, or certainly the DG Murray Trust, dgmt.co.za website.
Chief Executive Officer at the DG Murray Trust is also co-lead of the Hold My Hand Accelerator. Find out more as well and get involved at holdmyhand.org.za. Dr. David Harrison. Thank you, David. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.